Shire Nicholas.
It's the 12th Man Podcast New Year Special, following on from the celebration of last week's Christmas special. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
It's gonna be
crazy. It is. It's gonna be mental. It's gonna be absolutely crazy. We're just gonna do what we want.
Can't wait for next week.
As long as we're following the running order.
Can't wait for next week's second week of January special. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Declan Maron over there.
Hello.
Rory Tobin over
Hello.
There. How you doing, lads? Yeah, good New Year's.
Special, and? I would say.
Special.
Mine was alright.
As special as today's podcast.
I've got a haircut.
Oh, God, no.
You got a haircut.
I don't know if that's any...
Can you hear that on the podcast?
No, but just in case they were worried. Cause
there was a wonderful photo of us posted.
Yeah, lovely Christmas photo.
Of us posted.
We already spoke about this last week, I believe.
Yeah, but Christmas. It is still there. You should get on there and you should look at it because we look lovely. It's not really that Christmas. I'm wearing a Christmas hat.
We're all drunk.
It's Christmas enough. That's really how Christmas goes down in Ireland. Yeah, not much else happens. Well, with the new year, you know, a lot of people come in with the New Year's resolutions, all that kind of, it might be nonsense, but anyway. So we decided last week we start with a question again this week. What footballer, how would I even post this question? What New Year's resolution would you suggest for a footballer? And what footballer would it be?
I'm going to stick with the, could it be... Well, actually, no, I will use a footballer, but I'm also going to suggest one that I runner-up to mine for a manager, which was for Sir Alex Ferguson, not to accuse anyone of attempted murder for the whole year. You know, that's my runner-up. My actual one was for Michael Owen to focus on football, stop watching the darts, and maybe play a game this year.
A lot watching the darts.
He was tweeting about it. I was showing Rue earlier on his Twitter, and he tweeted for any of the trolls out there, and a picture of his trophy cabinet. You're like, yeah, it's an alright trophy cabinet, but he's had about a 10 to 12 year career. He should have probably more in there.
I'd love to see one that he has devoted to all of his injuries. Like all his medical bills and all the bandages.
All the old bandages. That's from when I broke my leg and broke my arms and my feet fell off and my eyes came injured, out.
He's not. He said himself he's not injured.
He was on Match of the Day there the other day as well, making the same point again and again that he doesn't think... First it was like Chelsea, he didn't think Ben Torres would play up front, and then it was Sturridge and Suarez, and he went, I don't think he'll play up front with Torres. I was like, did I rewind this by accident? He actually said Torres by accident as well, so...
I don't think I'll play up front either.
I want him to... Well, actually, I probably don't, but I would like to see him actually play football this year.
It would be nice to see him play at least one game. You know, he's at Stoke earning money for no reason, really. He's just earning money.
He's on Match of the Day most of the time.
Yeah.
Earning money for no reason.
With a stupid moustache.
Oh, it's gone now.
Well, it's since then. Me and myself, I've gone for, some people go for the losing weight thing, and other people go for the other big one is get a new job. So I'd like Mairon Chamakh to get a new job. And leave Arsenal.
Yeah, that's a good show as well.
Yeah, I think it's the best show.
I think he's probably said that, though. He's like, this time I'm definitely leaving. He's a bit of a Pavlyuchenko, isn't he? He's a bit like, when's he going to go? I thought he'd left already. And then you forget, and he comes back, and it's like, I'm going to leave. It's like, I thought you were gone.
Yeah, I think Pavlyuchenko was a better player, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But he still fell into that category of Spurs had, like, 3 or 4 strikers. And he only ever came on as a sub to kind of just annoy me. I used to say, he's terrible. He's not going to come on and score.
I know he's come on against Wigan and scoring.
My old manager of my old Sunday team used to talk about how great he was. And I used to tell him he was terrible. And I used to, every time... It was like, I didn't go down to the pub that often to see him there, but any time I went down, he was there, and Pavlyuchenko would score, and he turned to me and started shouting at me, all drunk.
I'd like to see Pavlyuchenko come back to the Premiership now, just to see you get annoyed.
Would that be your...
Well,
that shouldn't be your one. To annoy me.
My one would be just any footballer to annoy Deco a bit more.
Right, can I change mine? I want every footballer to dance every time they score a goal.
I knew that was going. Actually, that's my one. Anyone who dances, stop dancing. That should be your New Year's resolution. Sturridge, new start at Liverpool, don't dance.
Gabriel Obertan,
stop existing.
These players will have to score before they do that, so that's not...
Okay, Gabriel Obertan, you're grand.
Yeah. I was going to say another one could be to Gareth Bale to stop diving.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking that, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, he wouldn't take lightly to that.
But see, he doesn't think he's diving, so...
We'll get to that later. And, well, obviously, one you mentioned before, an honourable mention to Joey Barton to actually learn French.
Yeah.
And not just a terrible fake accent.
Yeah, that's...
Steve McLaren to speak Dutch again.
Yeah, I would like to see that, yeah. I'd just like to see those two on a stage doing impressions. Like, oh, this is a guy from France. Oh, no, well, I have a guy from
David
Holland.
David Bentley could go back from Rostov with all the impressions.
Oh, what?
Nuclear vessels.
Ah,
oh, this podcast. Nuclear vessels.
Have we started recording? Have we? Yeah, 2013. It's back with the same old nonsense, aren't we? Let's move on. Chelsea
did things, yeah.
Chelsea did things.
They made a signing. They lost the game.
They're getting busy, but they lost to QPR. I keep bottom of the table, QPR. QPR, who couldn't buy a win. They couldn't buy a win with all their players. And they probably have tried to buy a win.
They didn't need to buy the win.
They bought Sean Ray Phillips and he scored the goal against his old team and he didn't celebrate even though he hated the
Chelsea. We talked about this when me and Ray watched the highlights of the game together last night. I don't see the point in, you know, a player like that not celebrating against an old club. I mean, we use the example, if Del Piero was to come back with Sydney FC and score against Juventus, there's a time where he might not want to celebrate. He might go, finger on the mouth, shush, and do nothing.
Classic Del Piero.
I think the finger on the mouth thing would be...
Yeah, that's a bit very more disrespectful
to the fans. Yeah, but to his own players, but they run at him and try and celebrate with him.
No.
Just to not to try and celebrate, but like for a player like Roy Phillips, who spent most of the time on the bench and didn't like...
But he's
has no
people.
Affection or affiliation for this club, shouldn't have anyway.
No.
You'd almost forget that he played there, because when he stopped, you're kind of like, what's he doing? Why isn't he celebrating? He's like, it's a big goal for QPR. Mm. Oh yeah, didn't he play for them for a while? Mm. Or did he even play at some stage?
Yeah.
I don't think
he's, you know, should be committed to them in any way. I mean, he spent time there and that's all that happened.
Yeah, a lot of money, you know? There, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably wasted a massive chunk of his career when he could have developed at Man City and stayed there instead, or went to Chelsea. Didn't do very well at all. Raphael, are we back to that? Get the Raphael banners. Sack him in the morning.
Yeah.
Bring in Gus Hiddink.
I find it very funny, so it's all comic book later stage. You know, he brings a style of play, an inconsistent and you know, illogical sometimes style of play where he'll leave some random players out for no good reason.
Where did he play since he played a weaker team against QPR? They dropped a few players, but Cech didn't play, but I think it was because he came off injured against Everton this weekend. It was a great win against Everton, though, especially coming from behind, because they went down after
they should have lost that game, though.
See, I was watching the match with my brother, and we both said Everton have to score another one in this first half. They want to
win it,
and they didn't. And they hit the post. Jelovic hit the post, and Jelovic had a wonderful header in the second half. It would have been a brilliant goal if he had scored.
Great free kick, actually, that he hit the post with as well.
Yeah, and then
should have scored towards the end of the second half, though. Ball came into the box and he completely mishit his shot.
It's not something you see him do often. He's a very clinical finisher, especially last season when he first moved there. He was, you know, revelation. He's taking four shots or something. Scored them all.
Likes the first touch finish.
Because it just takes it away from the player. The player can't get to it. If you go and get into that position to shoot first, a bit like Van Nistelrooy used to do, he'd get onto the ball and he'd shoot it before anybody else can get to him.
A bit like Dzeko did for his.
Well, it was Frankie Lampard that
won the game. Two typical Frank Lampard goals.
Yeah, it looks like he's on his way as well. That's what everyone's speculating.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I know it's been around for a while, but it actually looks quite possible this time, as you know.
Yeah, his contract's up at the end of the season. He hasn't signed a new one yet, so he's gonna be. He's gonna have to. He can sign a pre-contract with somebody else now, but he probably won't, because he will hold out. I think he's dedicated to Chelsea. But where will he go? I mean, he's kind of old, and he's probably gonna want a lot of money to move.
LA Galaxy.
Possibly. LA Galaxy will sign Carlo Cudicini, or set to sign Carlo Cudicini.
Then that's their quota of having players.
Three marquee players.
Yeah.
They might get rid of Robbie Keane.
Could do.
They might. Probably not, though.
He moves to his boyhood club, Shanghai.
When I used to order from the Chinese down the road, I used to dream as a boy that I'd play for a Chinese club. 3-1s all day.
Don't do that, you make me laugh.
Yeah, well, it was a good win against Everton, but then the contrast with that defeat against QPR, but you know, QPR are still bottom of the table. Harry Redknapp is defiant. He was defiant after they played Liverpool during the night that they're going to stay up. Or, yeah, he would defiant. They're going to stay up. He thinks there's enough quality in that team to stay up. Yeah, no, I mean, quality.
if you could have seen Shane Keane's face there, I would have told you exactly how we feel.
There might be enough quality in the team, but
I don't think there is, actually. I think what one of our friends told us last night, QPR don't have any heart. And I said, well, they don't have any talent.
Hold on, was everybody here bar me last night, was it?
No. No, but they said they don't have any heart or...
they don't have any Joe heart.
But, yeah, but they don't, yeah. Because our one club has that. But they don't have any talent. Well, not any talent, but they have very little where it matters. I mean, up front, you have Cisse, bit in and out of a player. Zamora's injured, and Andy Johnson, who's not... He's passed it.
And now Adel Tarabt.
Oh, yeah, Adel Tarabt. We've decided to give Tarabt a new name every week for your mispronunciations of him.
Tarabt.
Tarabt. Tarantino. Tarantino. That's what we call him this week. But... Yeah, he played up front in this game, but he's not a striker, per se. So yeah, I think they lack up front in defence. They've got, you know, a centre back partnership of Clint Hill, Ryan Nelson, or Anton Ferdinand. Maybe Neto Manu if you want to throw him in there, but not good enough.
That's awful.
Traore or Fabio at the left back position. Both terrible. Bossinga or Arnoua and right back.
Sondery in midfield.
I actually think midfield is one of the spots they're all right, sort of.
Granero and Tarabt.
And, you know, Derry's, he does a job. I don't think he's very good, but, you know, they have a couple of players that are all right. They have Park Ji-sun and stuff like that who can do a job there.
Bring back Joey Barton. Bring him back. He'll keep you up.
They put in an offer, didn't they, QPR, for West Ham's...
Mommy Diame.
Diame, yeah.
Which seems like a strange move.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Doesn't it?
I think this is Diame just signed for West Ham in the summer.
And he's playing at a better team, we're going to stay up. And he's injured for a while anyway, so he won't be playing.
Why doesn't he buy Frank Lampard? Harry Redknapp.
That's an interesting
Why
show.
Not? He thinks he's a top.
According to that video, yeah. You'd have to steal that video and post it on the page.
He sees he's a top player, he is. He's going to make it to the top.
Not according to that guy.
Not according to West Ham fans.
He's going to make it to the top with QPR. Yeah. So I'm going to lead into this.
Do he's his nephew?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about this last week, actually, didn't we? Mm. Yeah, the Wead.
Yeah, I said I'd go spend New Year's. I didn't actually spend New Year's with the Redknapps, but...
Oh, yeah, did anyone... Do you spend New Year's with Howard Webb?
Yes, I did. Very uneventful.
Yeah. Accurate time.
I wasn't really with him. I was outside his house. And he called the police.
Let's move on.
Well, Chelsea looked set to sign Demba Ba. That seems to be done. It was on Saturday, and that was off on Saturday. But it was back on again yesterday.
He was announced in the Newcastle lineup, which I thought was unusual. I'm not sure.
Not the lineup, I mean the squad.
Oh, the squad. Sorry, yeah. Which I thought was unusual because it's like
he wasn't there.
Well, like I imagine they played away in Newcastle, didn't they?
At the weekend,
yeah.
They played Arsenal at the Emirates.
Yeah. So, maybe it was the game after they played at home.
Yeah, yeah, it was the game yesterday.
Yeah, and they played at home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because in my head they were playing away, and they were driving on the team bus, and he got off and like legged it to Chelsea. It was like, oh, we're stopping here to get like a couple of snacks, lads. Pick up a few bits if you want. Where's Demba gone? running off to Chelsea.
What professional team stop for some snacks?
I don't know. Toilet break then.
I'm sure they have a toilet on their bus.
Ah, no, stop in the garage, do that whole thing of asking for the key, which attached to a giant piece of wood. They have to let 22 squad members go in for a quick...
Plus the physios and the physios. The manager will want
to
go in.
Now, lads, did you just go into the bathroom before you left?
Yeah.
Do you give me a good sign for Chelsea?
I think it'd be useful. I don't see him being there for a couple of years, though.
Yeah, I think he'll do a job.
Does
for
he still
a while.
Have a knee injury?
No, he's always had it. It's just he has bad knees.
So, like, they could buy him and tomorrow he could...
Well, he could. They
could be like when Hartlepool tried to sell whatever that striker was called in Dream Team.
No, not Hartlepool. Harchester.
Harchester.
Hartlepool. Which one? Which guy? Who had a knee injury? Which one?
They all had knee injuries.
The guy who moved to... Yeah, I think I never thought he was an English fella. I think
he was blind?
No, that was the guy they signed off Barcelona. Yeah. He went blind after about a week. They also signed some Russian striker or something. They ended up having cancer, testicular cancer, and just never came back to the team. I was like, well, we probably go and get some surgery on that and a bit of treatment, might be back next season. Never turned up again.
That's terrible.
Never turned up again.
Quite negligent writing, really. Yeah. Around a touchy subject. Good lord.
Ah, well, yeah, that's why the show's on telly anymore.
Yeah, that's how it's for me.
Good team. But where are they in the table at the moment? They'd always have that fictional table up when Dream Team was on. I was like,
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, they're fifth in the table. I was like, well, you've clearly just edited Chelsea out of that.
I would love. And also, they clearly just edited Chelsea matches.
Yeah, or every matches they love purple.
Them. Imagine they did it now, though. Like, I mean, you bet the lads that would love to be involved in it, you think, now. Like, I'm sure Joey Barton would love to make a cameo appearance because it's real meta. Like, Andy Gray and Richard Keys love to get an old job on there doing the announcements.
Maybe we could write one.
I'd love to get a petition going to bring back Dream Team.
Well, there is a petition, I'm sure. But we could write some new episodes for Dream Team.
Alright, we'll work on that after this podcast, I suppose. Sorry.
But they could be audio episodes.
A radio documentary of Dream Team.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is all getting edited out. Demba Ba, Chelsea, will he be the new Drogba?
No.
No.
Right, moving on. Demba Ba, Newcastle, scored 2 at the weekend against Arsenal, lost 7-3.
He did?
Yes.
Yeah. Good win for Arsenal.
And what was one of the best Arsenal Newcastle games is that last Arsenal Newcastle game that was also a cracker.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago we played Newcastle at home and we lost 1-0. Andy Carroll scored a header. That was the most frustrating I've ever been watching an Arsenal match because we just did not try to win the match. It was shocking. Shocking.
Much like the Southampton game.
Yeah.
It's funny how absolutely like contrasting those two games are, though, because like that was just a really enjoyable game. I mean, I only got to watch it on Match of the Day, but I remember thinking, hold on, it's still only 1-1. There's like there's loads of goals left to come here.
There was 10 goals in the game. It's absolutely bizarre. Walker got a hat-trick. Giroud got 2. He hit the bar.
Really sorry for him, actually. He deserved.
I mean, he came on. He was only on.
Would that have been like the quickest hat-trick?
Nah, no, it would be quicker. Robbie Fowler for one.
Oh, yeah.
Like from when you score your first goal.
Yeah. I can't think of
many. I'm gonna win every argument with Robbie Fowler.
I can't think of many players who've come off the bench and scored a hat trick so late in the game.
Yeah, it's a pretty specific thing, though. I can't think of one either.
We'll work on that. But as we do, we'll talk about Theo Walcott on his contract.
Well, he's worth keeping now that Henry is actually teaching him. Just keep Henry there as a coach.
Well, Henry's been there a couple of days, and
Theo Walcott's
Theo Walcott looks like Henry. His first goal was very on read, where he cut down and just.
I was very impressed by the second one.
Yeah, it was a great.
Usually does not have the capability to pick out that one spot. I know it was a quick turn; he just had to hit it.
Yeah,
but it was like top left corner from an angle where he could smack it over or just hit a player. Yeah, and he did very well to finish it. The third one was funny because on first glance it was like, oh, that's on risk, and then you look at it and you're like, no, Henry never fell through 3 players.
Well, he got fell.
Yeah, I know. It was a fell, but it was very funny. I mean, if you just look at, in that situation, if that was Thierry Henry, he wouldn't have fallen, and he wouldn't have taken a player out by falling, and then gotten up and scored. Not taking anything away from Walcott. It was a great goal.
It's the British Henry. He's just got a bit more heart and guts now.
He's a good, honest
player.
He can do it. At Stoke on a wet, windy.
Well, you couldn't do it against Southampton.
No.
I said
Stoke.
Wasn't wet or windy.
Could well have been. He just talked now that he will sign a new deal in the coming weeks. I mean, we wait and see again, but it looks like Arsenal, they should keep him, you know? He's got better in the last. But he's got better every season. Every season he's been there, he has got better. And this season he's got better again.
Yeah.
And like last season he wasn't, but he was quite good for large parts of last season. He's just still a bit inconsistent, but he's still only 23, 24. People do forget that. He's still very, very young. And if he's progressed to this level now it could be that case of, you know, he plays well, gets a contract, then goes back to being abject at best.
Yeah.
You know, that does happen with footballers. But I'd like to hope that he's going to try a bit more. You know, he's dedicated now. If he's going to get that run in the middle, he's going to score a few goals. And it gives us another option of just pure pace up front rather than trying to lump it to a big man, as we've tried before.
Yeah, I think it'd be a shame to see him leave because, like, you know, he is starting. It looks like he's starting to get a bit of form together. I know he does this every so often. I give out about it, but he looks like he's getting a bit better. You know, a couple of influences there in the team. He wants to play up front, like through the middle, which is fair enough. You know, it's the same with Sturridge leaving Chelsea. He doesn't want to play as a winger. He wants to play as a striker. It should be very interesting to see how it all goes. It's going to give Arsenal a lot of trouble if he leaves, though.
Well, you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain there as well, who's could fill that role on the wing that Walker had.
Well, he's already doing it because Walker's in the middle.
Exactly, he could do it naturally enough because they're very similar players. So I think, you know, get him new contract, play into the middle, see how it goes.
And get Arsene Wenger a new jacket, because he really struggled the weekend. That was so funny.
There's a Sky Sports show, the montage of him trying to fix the thing. And Steve Ball just sitting there not paying attention.
I think someone would have helped him. It would have been great if they had to cut him out of the jacket just on the pitch.
Just rolling around.
Like Balotelli can get stuck in a beer, but everyone goes mental. Wenger gets stuck in a jacket.
He didn't get stuck in the jacket. He put on the jacket. It was correctly. Struggling. The zip was broken.
Yeah.
For everything good, Theo Walcott did do in the match with the hat trick. He missed two other chances that he really should have scored. He gave a terrible pass through to
Solly. Yeah, no left foot. That's what we said. We gave out about the time. No left foot at all. Hmm. That's why Podolski's there. Only left foot.
Yeah, him and Vermaelen. That's what you want there. The Southampton one as well. There was the defence. Like, it was awful. And the lack of determination there. And it just, you know, drags that question. If you're going to get at least four at the table, you need to play a hell of a lot better than that.
Yeah.
And we
very weren't. Inconsistent, very defensively frail is Arsenal's huge problem at the moment. Mm. And even then, the strikers aren't performing every game. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's every once in a
while. I know they've all scored. In this 7-goal game, they've all scored. But before that, they hadn't.
Yeah, and Cazorla looks like he's tired up a bit now, so he hasn't, you know, he hasn't been as effective lately in the last maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He's probably not used to this playing off a winter thing. It takes a year to get used to that. Although, when we touch on the winter break later, I think we'll touch on that now. We move on to Liverpool, who we talked about Sturridge moving there. Now, he's a player who was, you know, touted to be England's next big star when he was at Man City, but never really fulfilled that promise when he moved to Chelsea. Now, mainly true lack of game time, though, isn't it?
Chelsea's the worst team to move to if you're looking as a young English star to move up. When's the last time they brought, like, Lampard? But wasn't he was playing a lot?
He was already fairly established.
John Terry is probably the last big English player they've brought through the ranks. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They bought Sturridge, and he just. But they think they got him cheap, like they got him on a free.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's the worst place to go. He would have been 20. Well, this would have been 3 years ago when he moved.
Would have been very young in any way. Like, yeah, I mean, so he would have been,
he's 23 20, now. He'd been 20 when he moved.
1920. That's it. And
he's still young enough. It's like you're saying with Walcott.
Exactly. Walcott's still 23, 24. Yeah. People forget that. They go, oh, he's been around for years. Like, well,
he didn't start when he was 16.
Yeah. The same with Chamberlain. I was like, he must be with 20s, and he's only 19 now.
It was Jack Wilshere's 21st birthday the other day, and I was like,
that was nice. Trump got his big head in the way. I know that was Newcastle game. I'm thinking
that was I think it was the Southampton game, maybe.
Alright.
But anyway, yeah, I was just thinking, like, he's been around for so long. He's an established Premiership footballer. He's
as I said last week, though, I'm quite happy to take Daniel Sturridge. I mean, it's a bit high. Price, but we're getting him from Chelsea, so it's always going to be. We can't really think of too many other players right now that would really want to come to Liverpool that are, you know, within in his age and quality.
Dembaba will cost Chelsea seven million.
Mm. But I'm sure we considered going for Dembaba, but just. Chelsea probably beat us to it, considering they're in the Champions League.
And if he weren't signed to Daniel Sturridge, I don't think Dembaba would be going.
Actually, they're not in the Champions League anymore, never mind.
Yeah.
Better position to be in the Champions League next year.
Yeah, well, that might be true, but I think Dembaba would go to Liverpool. I don't think he'd turn down a move to Liverpool, especially when he's had a Newcastle team there, you know, possibly facing relegation at the moment.
Let's not get into that debate now.
But also, we speak of, you know, Michu was signed for £2 million and he's banging in the goals. You look beyond the Premiership and you can find much cheaper and players.
I'm not saying that, like, no one outside of England. I'm not saying no one outside, but I don't know. I'm happy enough to sign. I think it'll be good. I don't think
Dan Sturridge is very good. And I know people have said before, like, he's he's still young. It's like, but I've never seen the potential there to make think he's good. People say, oh, he didn't fulfil his potential at Chelsea. Like, well, maybe he did. Maybe that's as good as he gets. You know, maybe he's not. Maybe it's just a flash of the pan. Comes on, a bit of pace.
As good as he got would have been at Bolton.
Yeah, but there was a run of games and he got about 7 goals. But that doesn't mean he's gonna recreate that form. But he was only there for 4 months to the end of the season. So about 7 or 8 goals. I mean, I don't know if Dan Sturridge, especially, you know, another young player coming to that Liverpool team. I think Dembaba is a player who's, you know, he's got, what, 30 goals in the Premiership already in his career. You know, from West Ham to Newcastle now. You know, I think maybe he would have been a better signing if he would have been only 7 million as well. And he could have played up front with, you know, because you don't if you wonder where Sturridge is going to play now, if it's going to be at the wing or you're going to keep Suarez up front. Because the way things are going, he's been getting better for Liverpool now, too. solid 3-0 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Against QPR and against Sunderland just yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, good news that we're getting rid of Joe Cole. We're moving forward in the world.
Yeah, Joe Cole.
You know, if you think of Joe Cole outlining the storage in, it's progress.
It's 40 million or 12 million worth of progress.
Where did this money come from if there was...
If the money wasn't there for
Yeah, if there was no money whatsoever to put, what, an extra 2 million on for Clint Dempsey, where did this 40 million come from?
Maybe we're going to have to sell players to make it back, you would imagine.
Well, just maybe, a, I mean, a bit...
There's a couple touted as being possible, you know,
yeah.
Sold players. You think of Henderson's, you know, linked back with Sunderland. Downing is, you know...
Why would Sunderland want Henderson back?
Martin O'Neill loves... He loves an overpriced English player, you know, with...
As much as Damien Cahoney loves Sunderland.
Yeah, darn tooting.
Sunderland were absolutely awful, though, in that game.
The Liverpool
games. With most.
Yeah, that's with most Sunderland games.
Yeah.
They were abject. They were pathetic. They didn't try, but look, things, you know, they were just...
I find it hard to see why Martin O'Neill should be there much longer.
Well, that's, we had this discussion a while ago, but then he won 2 or 3 games, or got him a few points. They beat Man City.
Mm. But he does this with teams. He brings them as far as he can bring them. Like, he motivated them when he came in there first. As we said before, the opposite of Mark Hughes' effect. You know, just bored them to death. He got them motivated, but they're just doing nothing now. And they look like, an abstract team with just nothing going for them at all.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You said Martin takes teams as far as they can go. But he isn't taking something as far as they can go.
I think he's
brought them backwards. Yeah, well, he's brought that team backwards.
Well, no, originally under Bruce they were... down in the relegation spot.
Yeah, and but where are they
last
now?
Last season, he brought them as far as they could go.
Yeah, I know.
Out of relegation.
Now they're back to where they were in the first place.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, you don't, if you're sitting down and you go a year or 2 year review or whatever, and you go, well, we're back to where we were a year ago, we're back to where we were 2 years ago. There's no progress, and we haven't gone backwards. So what's the point in paying this man more money than the last manager?
Maybe what they should do is sack him for a couple of weeks.
And then hire again.
Bring him back in. Same thing happens again.
Sack him. Bring him Avram Grant. Yeah, bring Avram Grant in. He'll bring the team down, kind of demoralise them, and then spring to a Martin O'Neill.
No, but Martin O'Neill won't take Avram Grant's job. He saw that at West Ham before. He won't take it. He's scared of Avram Grant. As we all are.
We all are a bit. We're all a bit.
He might be a vampire.
Will Sunderland even stay up? You know, do they have enough? They probably have enough about them, but I mean, the results just keep getting worse.
I do think they're
clash of the
three teams worse than them.
Villa,
QPR,
Reading
probably.
What about Southampton?
I think Southampton are better than those three.
Do you think so?
Joe, your three to go down at the halfway point, is it?
I can't remember. We'd have to listen back to the old episode to see who we originally touted. I know we put Stoke in there.
I think we all might put Stoke in there again. Everett,
just
maybe
in Everett, hope,
yeah.
More so than anything else. Surely this season, surely.
Well,
bunch of top-heavy fingers.
Stoke, they lost against Man City 3-0. Terrible result. They were even worse than Sunday. They did not look like they tried. And Tony Pulis after the match defended the team. I mean, he had right to say it, but the commentator or the reporter for BBC said, well, what was the difference between
the teams? I have this quote.
Yeah, about 225 million.
About £220 million difference in the game. And then also left, he was right, but then followed up with, we didn't play well, they played well. It was like, there you go, that's what actually happened.
I think what he says is that for them to get a result, they have to play really well and
Man City
have to play poorly, whereas it was the other way around.
I think it was down to, they were not only were they intimidated by the 220 million expensive lineup of City, but the star in the crowd, David Hasselhoff, doing his panto in Manchester.
Yeah, I don't know. They kept cutting today.
They kept making kit jokes. David Hasselhoff in his kit, and then at one point I don't think it was John Motson. It wasn't John Motson. I don't know who it was on the BBC. Started explaining the joke. It was like, David Hasselhoff in his kit.
That's a
reference to Knight Rider. If anyone who wasn't born or never watched that show, you should watch it. It's like, I'm not taking tips off what to watch off you. I've watched Knight Rider. Yeah. If you have to explain it, it's not good. And Gary Lineker beat him to it anyway. Gary Lineker did the joke before him.
It's a dark, dark day in your existence when Gary Lineker beats you to a joke.
Also, I assume he's got a bit of money. He's done a few of them judging not real talent, but fake talent shows. And his wife was sitting on his lap for the whole game. I think so. I'd be very surprised. I'd be very disturbed if it wasn't.
Because she's very young.
Well, yes.
She's very attractive.
He's got a lot of money. Well, obviously not if he's buying one seat, but... yeah, one seat. She was sitting on his lap.
They were up in the VIP area anyway, so...
It doesn't matter. It's an expensive... Buy two normal seats, you greedy shy.
Well, fair enough. Maybe she wasn't meant to come along, and then it was just one of those, oh yeah, I'm gone out. Oh, where are you going? It's like, just stay out to the match. Oh, can I go?
Somehow or another, I don't think Hasselhoff was talking like that. Where are you going? Oh, just out to the match. What match?
I didn't get any pizza.
What match? You don't watch football.
Also, how would she have gotten in if they only had, oh, we only have the one seat, but just hit me laughing, you ran.
We're doing a panto here. Don't know if you know David Hasselhoff doing a panto.
Look, I've got my kit. Get in there, you rapscallion.
Also, we should point out that might be his daughter, I don't know, allegedly.
What? This is his anyone.
I don't think it was. I think it was his wife.
Niece.
But...
Huh? His niece? Sister?
I hope not.
Not a sister, surely.
Mistress?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Accurate.
Fuck.
I've been gone.
Yeah, stoked though. They were terrible. And I think it was very rich of Donny Peel to come out and say that there was 220 million difference. Like, well,
what about when they play Southampton?
Yeah, exactly. That gap is, you know, Stoke has actually spent a lot of money, and they do spend a lot of money every transfer. And then Cameron Jerome cost 12 million. Peter Crouch cost about 12
million. He did not. Cameron did not. Yeah. 12 million.
Yeah.
12 million for Sturridge. For that goal that he scored the other day.
It wasn't worth 12 million. I'm sorry.
It was a good goal.
I'll leave me out there for a couple of days. It could be 12. I'll score one like that for 12 million.
Wilson Plas just cost a lot of money. Like, these players, future players do cost a lot of money. And I think he does try to defend and say, oh, you know, we're a small team. It's like, well, you spend a lot more than any other small team.
Yeah. I'd say that they would be on level terms with Sunderland, who beat Man City and actually went out and tried to beat Man City as opposed to just going, we don't have as much money, let's let them score goals.
Yeah, well, they also have done terrible since, so we can't really give Sunderland too much credit
for trying. I know that. But,
I know what you're saying, though. Yeah, I think it was, you know, I don't like any interview with Tony Pulis, really. He never
it's
is...
rarely like anything that Tony Pulis does.
He's never... No, I don't dislike the man, but just any interview, he always puts on this, well, this is the way we play, rough and tumble. And it's like, yeah, alright, now what do you have to say about the game? Well, they're better because they spent more money. It was like, okay, well, use tactics, how about that? Stop talking about being rough and tumble and, like, tactically try and beat
them. Was the way it worked, it's like, oh, well, Real Madrid, they spent more than us. Yeah. There's no point going to that match.
Yeah, exactly. He always uses that excuse as well, you know?
They were just pathetic from what I saw on the highlights. They just didn't seem to try. And it's disappointing because they played really well to come back in the Southampton match when they went, was it 2-0 down and then kind of crawled their way back to the game and they finished 3-0. To get that goal in the last minute, I know it was, you know, he's going to score one in a million of those goals. But, I mean, it was a brilliant goal.
Begovic was very poor.
Against City?
Against City, yeah. Well, I suppose he wasn't that great the week before either. Mm. But against City especially, I mean, there were two tap-ins, one of which he parried right out in front of Jekyll's foot. And then the penalty, which wasn't a penalty, Silva went down very late. Should have been free kick outside the box.
Yeah.
And then he dived in the box. But yeah, the penalty was like right beside him as well, and he missed it.
It was a very good penalty.
A couple of goals like that. Aguero and Dzeko are working out quite well together, though.
Well, Aguero's injured now.
Yeah,
well, it's a hamstring. I don't know. Was there any?
They said it wasn't as bad. He just.
Oh, I don't know. He'd be out for two or three games. I'd say.
Well, Mancini said about 10 days, but that was
just it. Stab in the dark.
10 days. They're getting goals, City, at least. I mean, you look at those two. I mean, Norwich, they beat 4-3.
Is Zeko their top goal scorer?
Yeah, he is. I suppose that's the hat-trick. And Norwich putting them up there, you know. Yeah. Game in which Sami Nasri saw red for kind of rubbing his face or someone else.
It's just, if you're going to get sent off for violently attacking a player, you may as well go the whole way and actually attack him.
Mm.
As don't just put your head against him and go,
Zidane style.
Yeah, go for it.
Wreck his organs.
Nasri touted as the next Zidane when he was younger.
Oh, Nasri, he's terrible these days. I've said this for a long time. I really don't like him.
He should never have left Arsenal.
He should.
Well, he should have stayed after, because Fabregas...
I'm just angry, alright? I don't know what I'm saying.
He should have moved into that Fabregas role, and he would have. Mm. When he decided, no, I will leave. I was like, well, go to Man City, and great.
He's a winger.
Do nothing. Yeah, play as a winger, play out completely opposition. Because he would have, okay, he did that at us, for a while, but he would have, I think, slotted into that Fabregas
role. Absolutely, yeah.
And he would have been a good player there, but decided to leave.
What goal was it that the dubious goals panel were called by?
For the Dzeko's hat-trick goal.
Oh, okay.
That hit the post and it hit.
I don't think. I wouldn't have given the goal. It's a bone on goal in my opinion because he had
saved it kind of and it hit the post and then came back out
and then it wasn't going in the first place.
Doesn't the dubious goal panel sound like the most fun job ever? It sounds like in The Simpsons when they talk about Mad TV's office and they go into Mad TV and there's all this crazy stuff happening inside. That's what it sounds like.
I think it's more like in like a bunker. Like the war room in Doctor Strangelove or something, like underground and some
and
sort
in,
of.
And in there is Rory McGrath from Old Goals and Gaps.
Oh, that's dubious!
It's like the disciplinary panel. Up in front of the disciplinary panel.
That always sounds
he'll
like.
Never, ever, ever like let you away with anything.
Yeah.
Like, we'll appeal that red card. It's like, it's not going to happen.
Again, I always think of that disciplinary panel. They all wear black cloaks when you go in. They're like, enter. It's a big empty room.
The Legion of Doom. Oh, the FA, they're crazy.
And their rituals.
Who else is crazy? Balotelli, he's a bit crazy. Got a little bit of a scrap at Mancini allegedly today. We'll find out more about this, I'm sure, on the next day.
There wasn't too much information. It was apparently a tackle that he put in on Clichy or
Storage.
Scott Sinclair.
Or Sinclair. You do that a lot.
I do get those two mixed up because they're both crap.
That's harsh.
Just because he's a Liverpool player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't call Walcott crap in this episode, alright?
A bit of an altercation.
The pictures are very funny, actually. They're very, very comical of Mancini and Balotelli fighting. The first one, it looks like Mancini's using him as a leaning post or something. And he's making a bit of a scumbag face. Second one looks like he's trying to kiss Balotelli. Third one looks like he's enjoying whatever Balotelli's doing to him a little too much. And then the fourth one, they just look like they're talking about someone else bends down just in front of them. It's like awkwardly.
Like that Ronaldo Rooney picture.
Yeah.
Go around. Yeah, you know, people used to have that on their phone when we were in school. That was
cool. But I think that was cool. I think this is not something to worry about. This happens in training. I mean, the best one ever was Olaf Melberg and Freddie Umberg. Were they caught on camera actually fighting? Like,
well, there
properly.
Was John Hartson, was it?
Oh, Berkovic.
John Hartson kicks him in the face.
Oyl Berkovic, who then went 6 years on at Manchester City with his corner goal as an attacking midfielder.
Sounds like him. There was also.
Did he ever go to Celtic after? I think he did, didn't he?
He was there, yeah, but I don't think.
You had some fierce toss pots back in the day.
He was there, and I don't know if John Hartson was there at the same time as him.
Oh, that's so. Imagine that one. No, I don't think. I think it was after.
No, I think it was before.
Oh, was it?
Berkovic would have been there before him.
There you are now. It's a pointless little stuff, really.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Nobody cares about that, really. First block, my train of thought. Now I forget where I was going to go. Do Man City need more signings? I know.
He's going to say they do.
Not that. I do need more signings. They need some new players, I suppose.
They need to have gone back in time and not signed all the
dross
that they did. Absolute rubbish. Scott Sinclair hasn't played yet, has he? Maybe he has one game under his belt.
He's got one or two, yeah, but I mean, two or three sub-appearances as well. But I mean, what was the point in signing him?
He may have got tackled by Balotelli to start a fight.
That could.
The season rounded up there.
The biggest impact he's going to have.
Useless,
I think.
Though. Mike Conn barely played. He played one game. Where
Jack Rodwell. Yeah. Anybody else played, he's cost him. Javi Garcia's kind of been the best of the bad bunch. But
it's only because he scored a few headers.
Pretty terrible, anyway.
Yeah, he's not been that good.
I know Manchini will say it, but where did they need to improve?
We're going to see a lot of Rodwell now that Yaya Toure has gone to the Cup of Nations. Either that or he's just going to sign a new midfielder, which he probably will do.
Yeah, probably Javi Garcia.
Or drop Nasri back there. Oh, he's suspended.
Or Milner. Or any of the midfielders that are better than Jack Rodwell.
Gary Barry.
Well, Gary Barry will be starting anyway.
Yeah. Bring back Nigel de Jong.
I said this last week, I'd nearly recall Michael Johnson. I didn't play Rodwell. I think they've about the same amount of.
Well, you're just assuming that he's gone off on loan.
I guarantee you, Michael Johnson. If you're going to dispute this with me,
I'm not the club.
Michael Johnson has been out on loan for about since I can remember.
I remember him scoring against, I think it was Norwich. No, Derby. Years ago, he scored a goal. And it was, I think it was one of his first games. It was when Man City used to be crap. It was when Derby were crap as well. And Derby just been promoted. It was one of those early games of the season. He scored an absolute screamer. It was a brilliant goal. I think Sven Gunnarsson might be managed at the time, actually. Would that have been around that time?
Maybe, yeah. Just before... This was when...
They got a bit of money the first time.
Yeah. Shinawatra. Taxin
Shinawatra, yeah. Yeah. And he scored a lovely goal. It was a really good goal, like 20, 30 yards out. I was like, oh, he's a really good player. And then he just kind of disappeared off. And then I remember looking up and was like, whoa, Michael Johnson's fat. Because he really put on a lot of weight. And he just lost it. And then he came out, I think, maybe last year before that or whatever, and said...
He was on loan to Leicester and then he got injured. And he's still at Man City. There you go. There
why?
You go. 24.
Oh, dear. Let's move on anyway. Hey, Everton beat Newcastle. And there wasn't really much to talk about in that game other than Leighton Baines' wonderful free kick.
Yeah, and we love it. It's like a new Roberto Carlos, isn't it? That free kick.
It was just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, the whistle goes and you can see he's kind of standing, he goes, I think I'll just hit this. And he just takes a few steps and just smashes
And he just hits it. And he hit it. And I smashed it. No, and I hate seeing that.
Not this again.
Take a boost.
Go back to the New Year resolutions. Come back. We try and not do this for the whole year.
Oh dear. Yeah, and he's
it's phenomenal though, wasn't it? Leighton Baines a very, very likable character as well.
Even for me.
Yeah, as a Liverpool fan. I don't know what you mean by that. I was like, what?
Even for you hate everyone.
You used to play left back, didn't you? Well, yeah, I don't hate all other left backs.
I think you could be part of the Beatles.
He looks a bit like that sort of 70s, early 70s disco. I think I saw him in Saturday Night Fever.
He's got a likeable personality and he likes some good music, which makes him easier to like, but he doesn't bang on about it. Like Joey Barton appearing in Kerrang! Magazine and all. Oh, look at my beret and my love for the Smiths. Like, no one gives a fuck.
Look at my love for the Smiths. I drew them a picture.
They'd be broken up a while now.
Do you remember he came out and he said he was going to reunite them?
Yeah, he's just... Yeah.
But that, I think he meant he's going to go and kick the shit out of them until they all start getting back together.
He's a moron. Let's just believe it at that. Mm.
He wants to be Morrissey.
Ugh, no one wants to be. No one wants to be Morrissey.
With Morrissey's classic French accent.
No one wants to be Morrissey.
So, Papi Cisse scored in the match.
The one that's staying.
Yeah, the one that's staying, not the other one that's leaving. But it was around this time last season that Cisse started scoring all those goals. So it was his time to shine now.
He was just signed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was, but Baz scored the goals up to this point.
Yeah.
But so our Chelsea getting the offense of the deal here go, oh, crap, he's not going to be good until the start of next season.
They made a good point on, I think it was Sky Sports, that you'd imagine that they'd, like, he was the one they'd invested in, really, over Demba Ba. Like, they spent a lot of money, so he's the one they're going to have to concentrate on. You know, I think both of them are linked away, weren't they?
Yeah, well Demba Ba's won't score any goals, you want to leave it.
Will they sign Andy Carroll from us now? Will they give us $7 million for him?
That's a big... You know, he's on at West Ham at the end of the season, isn't he?
He's injured.
Yeah. Ugh. Who knows? Who cares?
Who will they sign, though? They'll need a replacement. I mean, Sammy Amiobi can only do so much.
And that is not very much.
Yeah, not very much.
Well, you have Shola as well, don't forget that.
I'd rather forget that.
Well, they could... They have a good scout, and they seem to have a good scout network. Anyway, like, I mean, there are players out there. You said, you know, Liverpool got the boys storage, but you look abroad, there's always good players out there. You know, they could pick up, I don't know.
They
depends on how much money they might have more than $7 million, so they could pick up somebody. But then actually, do they need somebody to replace? Because the problem with the two of them there was that when Cisse and Ba were there, was the both of them couldn't play.
Yeah.
I said the forwards.
But if he misses one game, Cisse, they're down to the Amiobis.
They should invest in a wide player, I think.
They should. Yeah. I said this before the transfer. They need to freshen things up.
Yeah.
Ben Arfa is playing off the striker. Play Ben Arfa off Cisse now and leave it at that. Get a new winger. You know, Jonas, as I said, does the same old same, but you know what you get when you have him.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. When you're marking him, you're not going to be like, what way is he going to go?
He's just going to keep running at you, and he's quite strong, so that's what you have to do. Pull his hair. You deal with those kind of players. Everton announced a net loss of $9.1 million. There you are. Just thought I'd throw it in there. Not that it's important.
It's important to Everton.
Have to sell Fellaini, though.
They probably will have to sell, because they're not going to be able to buy, I don't think. And
I don't think they need to buy, though.
Yeah, I might have been Scottish there when I said that. David Moyes, you know. I don't know. I think they could do a freshen up the squad, as you said, you know. I mean, they have a goal difference of 9, I think, at the moment. So certainly, I don't think they're going to get... They obviously want to finish as high if they can, and they could get top 4, but not with such a small squad, not with such a thin squad, and especially if they're gonna have a few injuries. They will have a few injuries.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. Like, if Jelovic gets injured or Jagielka gets injured, you're like, you start losing key players.
Yeah, I suppose a new defender might change things up. Distan is classic. After I gave out about him last week, he cost him a goal. Bloody brutal.
But they have, I think, a good player as well. But I think maybe just, you know, somebody in the squad, even a loan sign, you know, even if it's not, you know, you're just,
yeah, a loan signing or two. That's what they usually do, though.
Get Jack Robert back, eh?
No. We said that last week. I said no to it last week as well.
Get Scott Sinclair, eh? You know, he could freshen things up a bit. You know, get in there, get in people's faces, you know. Yeah.
Rattle a few cages.
Yeah, rattle a few cages. That's what I'm looking for. Rattle a few cages. Yeah, that's pretty much it from the Premiership. A bit of transfer talk, though. You were saying Joe Cole got to West Ham.
We've had to cancel his contract for him to leave, which is a bit depressing.
Yeah, you have to pay him.
They're not even offered like a small sum of money for him. Like, I would have thought
West Ham. Honestly,
not Sam. Wheeling and dealing and all
that. He's not a
fucking wheeler. As long as you don't cut out. Yeah, QPR tried to buy him. So, if I read up, well, that's a bit of a wheeler. I'm not a fucking wheeling and dealing. Did you ever call me that?
Well, Harry, I didn't mean it.
I didn't mean it, Harry. Be my friend.
That's Daniel Levy.
Oh, the chairman now at QPR.
Fernandez.
Tony Fernandez.
He'd be the one dealing with all that crap.
I was talking about this the other day, that basically Tottenham are a couple of players, they're looking good at the moment, Tottenham. A couple of players away from, you know, adding one or two like good quality players, you know. Spend their transfer.
Yeah, they beat Reading quite convincingly.
Yeah.
They really should score more goals.
Yeah. Two quite good players, you know, that'll fit into that squad, and they'll be pretty. If they get, maybe look at Moutinho again, you know what I mean?
They don't need another midfielder. They definitely.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. Well, I just mean someone of quality.
Hey, I don't think Moutinho moved there now. If they bought Moutinho in the summer,
and they need to get rid of the dead wood that's there, like Kyle Naughton. I know he played the other day.
They need a proper left back.
Yeah, Kyle Naughton. You know, a few Tom players Hanks. Like that. Yeah, there's a couple of players left over. Gallas shouldn't be there.
Although he does play a lot, Gallas.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
I think we'll see maybe Scott Parker and Tom Hulston, maybe Naughton. Gallas leaving the summer, but
all going to QPR.
Yeah. But that's what I was thinking. Harry needs to sign a few of them back to really, you know,
add more
average players to the squad and somehow get results out of it. It's like, how is he doing this?
It's you know, the thing that people say, that you're insane if you try the same thing again and again and expect different results.
Yeah.
Oh, Harry.
You mentioned Reading. You know what I realised about Reading?
They're crap.
Yeah, and also that me and Brian McDermott have the same water bottle. That's a little interesting.
And you have a similar taste in signing players. Daniel Carrico, your classic football manager player.
I love me some Daniel Carrico, yeah.
Yeah, that means he's good in the news.
6 million, though. I usually get him for about 4 or 5, you know. That's last year now, so I suppose. I don't have football manager 2013, so.
Inflation. But if you'd like to send us a copy.
me a copy. I have a stream account. Just email the Travelman podcast, I'll sort it out. Thanks. Yeah,
do that. He'll sort it out.
And I'll sign Carrico first. Probably not, actually. That's my pick.
Yeah, more transfer nonsense. Llorente looks like he might be going to Juventus. He's in talks with him. Because his contract expires. It's Fernando Llorente of...
Not if Harry Redknapp is going to say about it. Start throwing in bins all over.
Oh, we'll share with these for that.
Imagine. Dribble CZ, Bobby Zamora, Andy Johnson and Fernando Llorente. they got Guerrero.
Yeah, I suppose.
No, he's a step ahead, Llorente.
But if they signed him on a pre-contract and he wasn't coming to the end of the season... Brilliant. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I really want to go to QPR. Like, Granero's there. Like, oh, they got relegated.
Yeah.
Granero's gone as quickly as he can.
Yeah, he's in the talks with Juventus anyway, yeah. Because they don't really have a good striker.
He'll be back soon, don't worry, Zach.
Tuss proven well. Giuseppe Rossi, who's at Villarreal still, I think. He's been linked with a move away. He's been linked to Fiorentina, hasn't he?
And Juventus
as well. Sorry, and Juventus.
Juve could have two new strikers.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sign both of them, though.
You can't imagine.
Yeah, probably not.
They get both. Not with Bentner there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we already have Bentner there, and
why would you get rid of a player like him?
Yeah. Exactly.
Terminate that loan. Terminate it.
Every time he moves, I always think I always think he's left, and then somebody reminds me that he's on loan. Like, it's not just that I forget. I was like, I think, oh yeah, we saw Bentner. Like, I thought we saw him to Sunderland.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I found out. No, he's only on loan there. I was like, nah, he's not alone. He's like,
why do we keep buying him back? He's terrible.
He just comes back to London for 3 months in the summer and goes, yeah, where am I off to now? It's like, oh, just
go. How does this keep happening? We're talking about Giuseppe Rossi, and suddenly, but, again.
Giuseppe Rossi's one is they're looking to loan him initially, isn't it? They want to loan him and then pay like a future fee.
Yeah, he's not
close to the player.
He's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, not close to the player people thought he was last year.
Well, last year he missed a lot of football last year.
He was still highly regarded. If you think 2011, 2012.
I think in 2011, he only played a couple of games because he was out for the back end of that season. He started the season in 2011. I got injured for the 2011-2012 season. He was out, and then Villarreal got relegated. So, I can understand why he wants to get away.
Yeah,
but he's pretty injured.
pretty
injury prone. And whether Juventus want to go take a gamble on, so that's maybe why they want him on loan first. But then again, Fiorentina might want him on loan. Just
United dodged a nice little bullet there, didn't they? They've got a nice little group. We barely talked about them actually. They've got a nice little group of strikers already as it is. They don't need him. And tell you who else they don't need: Wilfred Zaha. They're looking into signing along with Arsenal.
Yeah, if you want to get involved in any of this transfer talk at 12 Man Podcast, get on the Twitter. Maybe stick a hashtag transfer nonsense in there. Because it's just nonsense. Lucas Moura's completely moved to Paris Saint-Germain. We knew this was going to happen. He signed the deal to move there.
All his teammates are warning him. I think it was Ed Mielsen's warning him about the arrogant Ibrahimovic. I wouldn't call him arrogant. I'd call him Zlatan-esque. If you remember last week's podcast.
Yeah, well,
there's Zlatan-esque Ibrahimovic. I wonder if his middle name Esque.
It's not. It's Zlatan Era.
Zlatan Era. Yeah. If his middle name was Vera, we'd be very
Zlatan
jealous.
Vera.
Not really a Swedish or even Egyptian name for that matter, but whatever. Pato, the AC Milan striker, he's moving back to Brazil. He's moving to Corinthians.
12 million.
Yeah, which is big money for Corinthians to be playing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how rich Brazilian teams are, but I suppose they do quite well because they got the World Cup coming up, and financially they're doing all right as a country. But I mean, 12 million on a player that has never really kickstarted his career.
Yeah, I mean, we all know he has potential, but we all also talking of injury prone players. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, he's had some
hashtag injury prone players at 12 Man Podcast.
Well, just injury prone. That takes up too much space. You only have 140 characters.
IPPs.
Yeah. I'd imagine just in terms of the stature of Lucas Moura, Pato will just be the next star of Brazilian football along with Neymar.
Yeah,
I'd say they'll go ape shit for Pato coming back.
Yeah,
to put it lightly,
they'll go ape shit. Watch it, reading Julian Balague's tweets, it looks like
this lad,
Julian Balague, pronounced it beautifully. 2013 New Year, gentlemen. New Year, I've got my dictation going on.
That's your resolution.
My
isn't
actual
it?
Resolution, yeah. To pronounce everything
you did
right.
By a dictaphone, right?
Well, now Shine. Oh, no! anyway, reading his tweets, from the sound of it, Barcelona may have reached, well, it's been touted that they've sort of reached a
agreement with Neymar
for 2014. He wants to stay another year. They want him to come in the summer.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay till, who has
Barcelona?
Barcelona. I think he wants to stay there
until the World Cup.
The World Cup. You know, they want to keep him there till the World Cup, and they're paying him a huge chunk of money. It's not like he's not getting anywhere else; like he's getting huge money over there to stay. Off a lot of it's come through advertising and sponsorships, like that. The club are being paid to keep him there, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're paying him. It's like a grant.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Maybe Barcelona.
Has it ever happened before anywhere else?
I know, I just think it's a publicity.
I know, I always heard when I was younger the talk of Real Madrid being bailed out, by the Spanish government, because they were just so majorly in debt. It's like,
Real Madrid,
we need them there.
Yeah. They're a strange club, the way they operate. Mm. Yeah, they're always in debt, but they always have millions to spend.
Mm.
You know, it's just the way it works.
That's what I mean, though, the government bailing them out.
Yeah, they never chase down these debts, that's what it is. It's like, they don't come after them for the tax. That's basically, you just don't pay tax over there. That's pretty much. Anyway, sticking with AC Milan, because we're talking about Pato, they were playing friendly against Pro Patria, who are tour division.
Three divisions below, so that'd be fourth division.
Yeah, Serie C1, is it?
It doesn't just go by alphabet.
Serie C.
All the way down to the Serie Z. three divisions would also be the C1 or something like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, not just that we're that stuck for a bit of football. The match was called off about, half an hour because of a racist chant towards Kevin Prince Boateng. King Kevin Prince Boateng led the protest to go off, wasn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a protest. It's a video, we might post it later. On the Facebook, so have a look there, 12 Man Podcast on Facebook. But he He's running up the wing with the ball, and next thing he, you know, gets, obviously it's been happening throughout the game, he picks the ball up and kicks it at the fans and walks away.
Doesn't actually reach the fans because they're on a really high stand.
He hits the stand in front of him, but that's good, I suppose. I mean, he's just kicking at an aggression, he's not trying to injure anyone. You know, he just storms away from that corner, then walks, say it's the left wing he's up at, storms down towards the right back position as if they're walking out through that tunnel. And his teammates follow him, and the pro Patriot players, it was written that they came off as well, but one or two looked to be trying to stop him to get him to come back on and play.
Well, you would want to play.
You would definitely want to play.
But also, you have to give credit to the rest of the fans, whether they're pro Patriot fans or AC Milan fans or whatever, for applauding him for taking a stand against him.
I remember a player for, I think it was Udinese, or could have been Siena, they both were in the same jersey, a few years ago, Zorro, I think was his name, he was being racially abused, and he basically just picked up the ball and said, I'm not playing. Walked off, walked to the ref and said, I'm not playing this, and went off the pitch, and they had to try to get him to come back on and say, like, right, look, if it happens again, we'll call the match off, basically. But he just got up, like, he just picked up the ball and said, I'm not playing if they're going to do that.
But you think of how much of a shame that is. I mean, if you're a pro, obviously pro Patriot are going to have some fans, and, you know, it's worth saying the chairman has distanced, saying that these guys weren't regular pro Patriots, you know, they weren't regular fans there.
Yeah, they're just
came along and acted the arsehole, basically. But you, like, I mean, this is what has to happen if we're gonna be this thing, you know. They're like, people need to kind of take a stand, and he's done the right thing. He's not put up with it for the whole game and then come out after and written on Twitter, oh, I got a load of abuse today.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. It's like, yeah, everyone will go, yeah, it's bad. And then a load of racist tweets will come back on them from these idiots who are hiding behind, you know, online personalities.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing, I don't think he should have kicked the ball at the crowd.
No, in a moment of fury, I mean, we can't be blamed for that.
Who
kind
was
of
the
stuff.
Sir who kicked the ball in the England under 20 match against
Serbia? Wasn't it Danny Rose, yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't have done that. I mean, that wasn't a good idea. I mean, yeah, look, I know he's been racist, but you don't do that, because you don't stoop down to not that. It is their level. Yeah. Like, it's well below.
Yeah. I can understand why he did that. I think you should try not to do that, but I can understand why you would. Hmm. It's incredibly frustrating, especially in Italy, where it's very, very...
it's an epidemic.
Yeah, really. It is. It really is.
Just brings up the point of, I said it might come back to at the start, it was winter breaks. I mean, why are AC Milan playing friendly against a fourth division team? You can gather if Kempers both teams playing, there's a couple of fourth team players playing. Well, if their winter break is a winter break, do you only get 2 weeks off?
That's what I said, we were watching the video. I don't understand at all. It's very weird.
Because Paris Saint Germain.
They both have three letters. AVB, RVP, Any vs. Predator.
Paris Saint Germain were playing friendly in Qatar. In Qatar, I mean, they have to go all the way up to Qatar to play a friendly. And it was when Lucas Moura's first game, I think.
Mm.
And it was being unveiled in there as well. It's like, but what's the point if you're taking a winter break for two weeks?
I can see, I have a good idea of why they did that.
money.
What if AC Milan got
the AC Milan one is a bit of a weird one.
But you see, there are like a lot of German teams, they play tournaments, like it might be just four teams. So it would be like a German team, a Spanish team, an Italian team, and a French team, whatever. They play a tournament. But like, there's all these calls for winter break in England, and yet these teams are playing friendlies anyway. Like, there's no proper winter break there, I don't think.
Yeah,
I suppose it's just less competitive, though. I mean, you can make probably about 12, 11 substitutions. You don't have to play, like, at full tempo, whereas every game you're expected to go out.
There's still all the travelling, there's the organisation.
Oh, absolutely. It's still going to be tiring. I don't understand that at all.
It's weird. It's like, you know, the league has said, right, you have a break. But there's no stopping the clubs from organising anything outside of that.
Obviously, they want to keep fresh as well, because if you take 2 weeks straight off or 3 weeks off, you're going to throw. But I know in Denmark, for example, when they have a winter break, it's a proper winter break. It's a month off, the month of December completely, I think. Even longer, might be even closer to 6 weeks, because the weather is so severe, for one. But they get a proper break then. But the season is a lot shorter there anyway, and a lot of their clubs wouldn't progress in Europe. But they take a couple of weeks off. And it happens in other Scandinavian countries as well. But I don't know. Mainland Europe, it just seems to be that, oh, we have a winter break and it's a great, you know, it's a great idea to have a winter break, but we're going to play lots of friendlies.
Yeah.
Just seems strange. I know we were touching on the racism there, obviously terrible issue, and I think it's been one of the huge lowlights of 2012.
Yeah.
Because we've just gone to New Year's when we look back at 2012 before looking forward, but I think it's definitely been, because we said it before, every week we came on, there was either diving or racism. We were talking about one of those issues, and I think it was a year of terror, you know, racist chanting and racist abuse and the whole... The John Terry thing, the Luis Suarez thing, with Patrice Evra, all that kind of blew up, and even over the last year or so, the Mark Lampert thing not too long ago.
Yeah, that was certainly a low light. That was one of the worst, using racism as a kind of like to combat a decision against you.
Yeah, you know, shocking. It was very poor on Chelsea's behalf, you know, and stuff like that. And then you look back and you look at you know, the whole Dalglish or defence Suarez thing, and getting
big mistakes made over this kind of stuff.
And even the Serbian. Was it the Serbian president of the Serbian FA just kind of defending...
Blaming Danny Rose.
Yeah, kind of defending his own country.
Saying there's no problem in racism or pitch invasion in Serbia.
And not so long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, I don't think we mentioned it, but Zenit Petersburg issued...
Yeah.
Zenit Petersburg's fans issued a charter saying they don't want black players at the club. They don't want black or homosexual players at the club.
Get Pussy Riot on that job. Sort of.
Any other lowlights?
Euro 2012 for Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a low light.
It was quite the low light.
That's it. That's bottom of the barrel for us, isn't it?
Or maybe even it got worse when we went to... I can't even remember who it was. It was Kazakhstan, was it, that we played?
We had a heat debate after that one. Yeah. Maybe we'll get better in 2013. Who knows? But Liverpool fan.
Any highlights, is it?
Well, I mean,
as a low light. Like, I mean, it's all just... the money we spent and wasted. The fact that losing Kenny Dalglish for a second time in a much sadder way, you know, it's not a glorious departure, which is kind of...
You did want him to go, though, didn't you?
I think it was time for a bit of a change, but I also think it was kind of sad to see, you know, I wouldn't say it wrecked his reputation. I mean, his reputation is going to be as it is, but it's a little kind of unneeded... blip on it.
But that was always the way.
And I do think that it's worth noting that I don't think you should get the full blame for all these players that were brought in. I think Camoli did a horrendous job.
But could it be argued that 2012 wasn't that bad for Liverpool? I mean, no, FA Cup final.
Yeah, that's a highlight.
Winning the League Cup. And the whole 2012 hasn't been terrible. I mean, there have been some wins and...
Some wins.
But, you know, the actual 2012 block... In the last three seasons is quite good compared to the other two before, where it was really falling apart. That's 2012, maybe a season of recovery. Now, of course, we have to wait and see where Rodgers finishes this season. It could go all terribly wrong. Defeat Aston Villa not so long ago. You know.
I think a personal highlight for me was Bayern Munich 2, I think it was Hamburg 0, because it was there. It was great. And I was there with a German friend of mine who had to leave early to beat the traffic. And I turned down Lyft home and said, no, I'll stay in the stadium by myself for the last few minutes of the game. I'll get the tube, the underground thing home. And I stayed and caught a second goal by Thomas Muller. And I was delighted. It was 1-0, got to watch that, got to watch all the Germans celebrating. And then as I left the stadium, it was pretty great. Like thousands and thousands and thousands of Bayern Munich jerseys.
Yeah, when I was in Dusseldorf... We saw Dusseldorf Hoffenheim. Wasn't quite as great leaving the stadium when we left, and there was thousands and thousands of fans, and we were trying to get onto the train. It was freezing cold.
Mine was nicer. It was a scorching hot day, and all the fans were really nice.
I saw a lot of German players as well, but in a much worse way, because I was supporting Ireland.
There's one of the lowlights.
One of the lowest of the Ireland, yeah.
That 6-1.
That was a bittersweet moment for me, though, because I was eating a lovely steak at a hotel down in Cork.
You were away.
Lovely. What are highlights?
Highlights?
I'm a Celtic fan. The entire 2012 was just
pretty much,
big Wanyama related party.
It's been pretty good, but obviously the highlight has to be Celtic 2, Barcelona 1. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But
I have to say, 2012 has been a really, really good year for Celtic. Yeah. Won the league, which is pretty good, pretty important, which is probably... almost more important in the grand scheme of things than this whole Champions League thing. But the Champions League is just some mental bonus that you never expected.
The arch enemy is being stomped down a couple of divisions.
No,
it's a little bit of a...
It's a nice little...
Yeah, it's a little pat on the
it's
back.
It's a Schadenfreude moment. I didn't pronounce that right.
No, you've got the problem now.
Schadenfreude. But yeah, no, I don't think that's like that was grand, but Celtic still had to go out and do what we've done. That's what I've enjoyed. I didn't celebrate that in any way, shape, or form.
You're saying that it was like that happened, but that's it. Like it was nothing to do with Celtic. It was like, look, that happened to Rangers. That's you know what happened. That's what happened. Let it go.
And it's almost nice now that we've had a bit of time where Celtic and Rangers are kind of separated. Mm. There's, you know, there's actual
football and not hatred.
Yeah, see, that's it's more about the football now.
Yeah.
There's less crap going on.
Which, in fairness, is poor quality, but it's football without all the hatred in it.
Beat Barcelona.
What about as an Arsenal fan?
Not just an Arsenal fan, but there's a few highlights there. Well, actually, one of them as an Arsenal fan was Thierry Henry coming back to the club and return against Leeds the score. And it was just a year ago now, like, pretty much.
Yeah.
The score against Leeds in the FA Cup. But we weren't playing very well. We were kind of struggling. He scored a typical Henry goal. And it meant so much to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He just ran around. He was like, and it was just great to see this player who I saw in my childhood, you know, as I grew up and saw this wonderful player, probably the best player in the world at that time, playing for us and just be like, so good. And then to just get another chance to see what he was like. And he scored a goal then, but he also scored against Sunderland, I think, in the league, which was quite important as well. Because I think we just got knocked out of the FA Cup by them we got to the fifth round, because we beat Aston Villa in the new round. And then he scored a goal. It was quite important because he scored because we won the match. I don't know if we won 2-1 or 2-0 or whatever it was, but it was a late goal. It worked out, I think, in the end. I don't think we're going to sign him again, but if we do, sure, it'd be a bit of fun.
As I said, sign him as a coach and just let him coach Walcott. Give him Walcott's PA, Thierry Henry. Leave it at that.
I was quite happy to see Italy get to the final of
the World Cup.
Euros. For any particular footballer reasons, because before the Euros I tipped them with a few of my friends, said I think actually Italy will do quite well, and they're like, oh no, Italy are crap, they're old and they're full of crap.
So you got to laud that over a few people, which is always nice.
But like I said, well actually I think they're
us, was it?
No, but you were away.
Yeah, I probably was one of the people saying that. Luckily I was in Germany.
I was like, as I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they got there, and I actually won some money on to get to the final as well. And I was like, well, they're not a bad team, because they'd been together as a team for a very long time, and a good manager, and they got trashed by Spain again. But they did play well against Spain in the group game. And I was like, well, you never know.
The Euros in general is just a highlight to kind of have that thing where, even though I was in Germany and I didn't have a TV, but every day I could go watch some football for a while.
Yeah, the quality of the football was at a very high standard as well.
Another highlight was Andrea Pirlo.
Yeah.
Just the man. The way he played in that tournament, the penalty that, you know, was just so calm and collective against England.
Yeah.
Just to do that.
One of the last of a dying breed, you could even argue. There's not a player out there like him.
They're very rarely players like that come along. No, it's hard to pinpoint exactly.
I suppose
what he
is good as well. I mean, just because he's that good. There's plenty of Charlie Adam can sit back and try and pass it, but
he plays like Berbatov does, but in midfield.
Yeah,
but has the passing and the ability that, say, Beckham had.
Mm.
It's just a weird combination of, like, you see Xavi and Iniesta, but they move around a lot.
Xavi Alonso's a little bit close, but again,
Xavi Alonso is
not the same.
Close. Maybe when Alonso gets a little bit older.
This is ridiculous respect that the Italian players have for him, where he doesn't speak that much on the pitch, but they're still always looking to him.
Yeah.
Like, what we do now? What, will I pass it to you? And he's just like, pass it to him.
It's weird to have a playmaker in such a deep role.
Yeah.
Like, they're always like, get the ball to Pirlo, but Pirlo's sitting, you know, 40 yards behind. That's what he's great. He sits back, he sees everything, and then he doesn't get too involved. Like, he knows when to make the run and where to go. But it's enough of a Pirlo love.
Jim McGee's a big
Pirlo.
If he's listening to this.
What have we got to look forward to in 2013, lads?
Confederations Cup!
Yes!
Oh, and the African Cup of Nations.
The African Cup of Nations starting off soon.
We'll have to keep an eye and do a bit of
the African Cup of Nations last year.
Yeah, it's more frequent, but it's football. We get to, you know, as football, we don't get to watch a lot of.
Yeah, I don't even know who's covering it. BBC Three, maybe?
Yeah, usually BBC.
I have the games recorded, lads, don't you worry. We'll catch them.
I have to go.
couple of live podcasts while the game's still on.
What about goal line technology? Going to make some big strides in that?
Yeah. It could be the year that Sepp Blatter dies and we all rejoice.
Possibly so. Goal line technology, though?
I don't really think that's going to make much of a difference in terms... Like, it'll make, obviously, a big difference, but I don't think it'll change football or anything. Like, it's not something that I could say, I'm looking forward to this happening.
Not maybe not looking forward to, but...
Definitely am looking forward to it.
2013, we could see it rolled out in the Premiership fully.
It could be interesting, yeah. But...
I think it will be.
I don't know, I don't want to get too excited about the change in rules and stuff like that.
I hope they change the Beltro rule.
I don't know, prefer to just revel in the beauty that is football, you know?
The pressing matter, lads, is when are they going to stop booking lads for taking off their t-shirts? All right.
Eden Zekel got booked for it. And if I was Mancini, I'd bring him in and I would discipline him for that. Because it's just stupid.
It was ridiculous that all he wanted to say was Happy New Year. Yeah. And I know why he did it. And he got his wish. He wanted to be at the end of the little montage on Match of the Day. And I knew it was going to happen as soon as I saw it. And then it happened. And I was annoyed.
Oh, you're lost now.
What about Dimitar Berbatov's meme t-shirt?
That was very annoying.
Drawn with a marker.
What,
Keep calm and listen to this podcast. There you go. We've got our own meme. It's terrible and we're never going to use it. We're going to forget this moment. Or Van Persie's tribute to a friend.
Yeah, well,
died.
That's
and he didn't take off his t-shirt. He just showed it.
Yeah,
there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You know, see, that's
you
the difference
idiot,
between,
Zekel.
That's the difference between Van Persie and Zekel.
Yeah.
Intelligence.
and ability.
There you are now. And they're both playing for different teams.
Yeah. And they're both very different players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hair colour.
Yeah, that's not
Jekyll's a bit bigger.
Yeah, he's a bit stronger, I think, as well, actually, isn't he?
Come on.
Yeah, he's not happy with that. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with 12manpodcast.hotmail.com or at 12manpodcast, don't forget.
Nonsense, if you have any highlights of 2012 or what to expect in 2013.
Hashtag highlights. Or hashtag, what was it? Hashtag IPP.
Hashtag injury prone players.
Players. That's an interesting one.
Michael Owen.
I'd always get injured.
I don't really get injured.
If we hashtag that, how do you like these trophies? I've got lots of them.
What are you?
Would you like not having cartilage in your bone?
Oh, lads, it's been a great 2012. Hopefully, it's a great 2013 as well, eh?
Actually, speaking of great 2012, record amount of Premiership goals. We didn't mention that. 1,100 goals. There you go.
You know what? I think we just missed a trick with 2012. It could have been 2012, the year of the 12 man podcast. But too late for that.
Better
now.
Change
the
name. Yeah. 13th man.
Thank you, Declan Mar.
Thank you. Happy January.
Thank you, Rory Tolbert.
Thank you. Thank you, lads.
Thank you, myself, Shane Keane. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Feather is the kind of lad who'd feature in Jingle All the Way.
He's more like a lad that was thrown up.
He's the toy that the
kid wants. Oh, well, it's Quailer!
No, you cannot have him.
Look, it's got bad beard at all.
Now we're having own goals. Wait, what's he doing? Leaning on him?
Yeah.
Hey, look at this guy! Yeah. This guy! Yeah. Crazy!
He's pushing him away, obviously.
Wait, that's great. What do you want me to do with that?
Charlie Nicholas?
How about you? Leave the iTunes.
I'll do the football, Jeff, and you do the glasses on iTunes, and when you were wearing the glasses the other day, Jeff, and you look, and I was doing
countdown.
The glasses.
Fuck off, Jeff! How about that?
That's what
I'm going home!
That's what he should have done. How about you fuck off, Jeff? And I'll do the football.
That would have been great.
I love Charlie Nicholas.